offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. Nothing is ever lost, and we are not forgotten. We are living in the heart of God. Such simple and beautiful and moving lyrics. This song by Jan Garrett and J.D. Martin, singers and songwriters from Colorado. I've loved this song for forever. To me, it is amazing how three lines of a song can touch your heart and be so meaningful to the depths of your being. Living in the heart of God, what might that feel like for you? What does that envision for you? What might that look like? Well, we thought we'd help you with that. So we considered what rose-colored glasses would look like, and we found God-colored glasses, looking through the heart of God at everything we see. Or perhaps your vision of the heart of God might look like this, or this one, or this one, or this one, or something entirely different. So our mind does that. Our mind needs to draw a picture. Our heart needs to wrap around something that is tangible, that graphically we can hold on to. So one of the many ways that we learn, one of the human ways that we learn, is to be able to envision it and hold it and remember it. And yet our mind's eye is so limited in its ability to truly comprehend such powerful essences of the heart of God. Yet when we visit this idea of the heart of God, it is something, an energy, that has no qualifiers. There are no prerequisites to be in or live from the heart of God. There's nothing you have to do to prove yourself to be in that space and to live from that space. As I was preparing for today's talk, I found some quotes about the heart of God, and some of them would reflect, if you know a person's story, you can't help but love them. To know is to love. And I can go to that place of understanding that the more we know about a person and their story, the more that compassion can be triggered from within us. And yet the need to know is totally ego-based. Totally ego-based. For when we're truly in that space of the heart of God, our ego is not at play. We don't need to know. For knowing a person's story or creating our own story satisfies the ego's need to label and put things in categories. That's understandable. We're bombarded by senses all the time. We need to make sense of it and let that go. And so this need to know is part of our ego base. But as we meld into the heart of God, we release that. And it reminded me of part of my shaman journey, where I would have these wonderful opportunities to meet with my shaman teacher, Berenice. She made her transition this past year. And she would take me on these marvelous drumming journeys, meditations. And often during a meditation, I would be joined by my animal guide, which is a beautiful crane, a white crane named Gideon. Often I would be flying with Gideon. And on this one particular meditation, we were flying towards the sun, only the sun changed, for it wasn't blinding, and the heat did not burn. So it was that bright light, that beautiful energy, not exactly outlined, wasn't distinct like the sun, but it was bright like the sun. And we flew around this energy and within this energy. And I recall on this journey standing in this essence and feeling nothing but bliss. My intellect was totally at peace. I was an observer. I could observe what was happening, and there were others in this bliss state with me. And I could also observe others outside this bliss state. A ways back, I saw a woman who was on her knees and her hands outstretched, honoring and worshiping this beautiful energy. And then there was another figure who was much closer and was gazing at this energy. And then another individual who was so close, they put their arm in, but did not go any further. They went that far. And as was the practice, when I returned from these drumming journeys, I would then journal what had happened, and Berenice and I would talk about what had occurred. And it was a while before I realized that I was all of those figures. I was that person at a distance, worshiping. That's the infinite God image that we have, that's so beautiful and part of our nature, part of our history. And then I was that individual who came closer with the intimate, wanting to be so close and really feel that energy. And I was also that person who placed my arm in, but didn't quite put my whole self in. And I'm that person, all of those people, in different moments of the day, in different days of the week, depending on what I'm allowing my intellect to do and how much I'm opening my heart to being in that heart of God, living from that heart of God. And each one of us go through these different transformations every day. And it's the awareness that brings us such joy. It's the awareness that doesn't judge but just says, okay, and now I'd like to do this. And now I choose to be that. Go deeper. Express the divine of who I am. And we turn to scripture this morning. We're looking at 1 John. 1 John, a little Bible lesson. 1 John is not the Gospel of John. 1 John is described as a letter. There's three of them. It's towards the end of the Christian scriptures, the New Testament. And this is actually probably a sermon. And like the entire Bible, other than the unattested letters of Paul, we have no idea who the author was. But the essence is very similar to the Gospel of John. The wording is very similar to the Gospel of John, and that's probably why it was named after John. So we're looking at chapter 4, 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him and her. In them. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them. Oh, I hear some God essences right out there in the hallway. This is so what we each want to do. It's our heart's desire. It's our soul's desire to live in and to live from that heart of God. And so we are always seeking tools. We're reading. We're trying different practices to help us remember to go there. And I believe we are always being guided. We are always being shown tools, instruments, rituals, practices to help us with that. Some may call it serendipity. Some may call it synchronicity. I have two to share with you today. The first is that we were the recipient, as we often are in the office, of some books that were donated. Well, you guys have seen my office. I love books. And so I went flipping through to see if I could find something that was of interest to me. And I found this sweet little book by Bronnie Ware, Your Year for Change, 52 Reflections for Regret-Free Living. And you can read through the book, or as it's designed, you read one chapter, and then you journal on that chapter. And the first chapter's a different perspective. And she tells a little story about how she's living in a rural area, she's living in a farm area, and it's spring. And she's driving, and she stops at this stop sign, and it's pouring down rain, and she looks over, and a calf is being born right there. And she thinks to herself, that calf is going to think this is the norm, that pouring down rain, being washed, receiving refreshment from the sky is what life is all about. And a couple days later, she's again driving. She stops at a intersection and looks over. There's another calf being born. Here are two calves, just a few days apart, that carry in their little calf mind very different versions of what normal looks like, on what their world looks like. And so I journaled. I journaled what was on my heart, and then I invited myself to look at whatever that was from a different perspective. And I actually would make a statement in one column, then in the second column, I would rise from a different viewpoint, from my more divine self. I said, I'm leaving a community I truly love. I enjoyed over a year of in a community that is loving and giving, and that's more than a lot of ministers experience one day of in any denomination. But they need me, really. Unity of the Keys was a thriving community before I got here and will continue to thrive. God is the answer, not you, little Missy. I feel like I failed them or me or Spirit. Really? No way. Just stop it. They are stronger than I or them. No. But some people are sad or even disappointed or angry with me. And that's none of my business. Be there, be present to however people need to process whatever is on their heart. I don't know what is next. Good. You don't need to know. Sit with that. My journaler can be quite intense. So how might you use a tool like this? Journaling, whatever is on your heart, on how you can make a statement about what's on your heart and then take a different perspective on it, another way to hold it, a healthier way to hold it, a way to hold it that's not all about yourself, not all about our human need, and more about what we know we're here to do and to be. For that's our heart's desire, always. How can we grow from this? That's what we always want to know. Whatever's happening in our lives, how can we grow from this? So in my exploration for this week, I came across the dedication and covenant that was written by the founders of Unity, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore. This was written 125 years ago, and it was discovered 50 years after it was written. This was not written by Myrtle and Charles as a way to gain attention or something that they did publicly, but this was their commitment that they made to one another. And this morning I'd like us to read this together. Together, we, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our money, all we have, and all we expect to have, to the Spirit of Truth, and through it, to the Society of Silent Unity. It being understood and agreed that the said Spirit of Truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication in peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want without our making any of these the object of our existence. In the presence of the conscious mind of Christ Jesus, this seventh day of December, A.D. 1892. This was their personal credo. This was their personal credo, that they made a commitment to what they saw was their life's work, and they didn't ask for health or money. They didn't ask for peace of mind. They asked only to serve, knowing that whatever they needed would be given unto them for that to happen. And their lives were not easy. They had financial setbacks. They had health challenges. They had the Great Depression. They had moved some of their offices to what was then called Unity Farm, we know it as Unity Village, and had to move back to Kansas City because they didn't have the gasoline to go the 17 miles out to the farm. They dealt with death. Their youngest son, Royal, died when he was in his early 30s, shortly after his wife passed away from complications of childbirth, which meant there was a little girl that was orphaned, Francis, and was raised by Lowell, one of the sons that did have two children already. They were not without their struggles, but their personal credo continued. And that is what I wanted to share with you today. And part of the serendipity, synchronicity, is that when Eileen, our church lady, arrived today, she found in the basket that comes in here a copy of the covenant, because 20 of these arrived in the mail on Saturday. I did not order them. They appeared from the Truth Unity folks as something that they were doing for all the Unity communities. So if you would like a copy, it's a little difficult to read. It's in purple. It actually has scratch outs. It's a copy of the original from the archives back at the desk. You can pick one up later as you leave today. If we're ever curious about affirmations, just ask the universe to show you. Living in the heart of God, it's our soul's desire. It's our journey, our path, each one of us. It's what we each desire. And today I want to thank you for allowing me to join you on that journey. I just want you to know that I love you.